Listen in to the Forum at St. James Church. Today, our big question series continues.
Okay, so this is our Forum on the Holy Spirit, which was listed in your insert as, what is the Holy Spirit really? Let me just say that neither God the Father nor God the Son got the really after the end of their announcement. But other than that, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with describing this Forum as, what is the Holy Spirit really?
Isn't this real?
Such the wrong answer. Juanita.
It suggests that we have a cliched notion of the Holy Spirit.
Ah, there's that. That's the really. Yeah, what does that tell us?
It's not separate. It was an eight thing. Sorry, we're having a bad day.
You are having a bad day. Y'all are sad here.
Does it matter?
Mary.
I don't even know how to explain it, but it's not something concrete.
Nope. Arminda.
That's a little bit out of line, but almost.
It should be, who is the Holy Spirit? Thank you. We talk about three persons of the Trinity. Have you ever called a person a what? No, you call them a who. It should be, who is the Holy Spirit? Okay. So, now at your tables, here's what I would like you to do before I say a few things. So, I would like you to talk at your tables about, have you ever had an experience of the Holy Spirit? And share that, if you have. And the second part of that is, how did you know it was the Holy Spirit, as opposed to your imagination, your conscience, indigestion, any number of things you might choose. So have you had an experience of the Holy Spirit, and how did you know it was the Holy Spirit? Talk among yourselves. Okay, we need to gather back up together if we can do that. So, just by a show of hands, who in this room has had an experience of the Holy Spirit? Okay. For those of you who haven't, the Holy Spirit will be coming for you. Do not be worried. This too will be coming your way. So, because we don't have a lot of time, are there a couple of people who would be willing to share what their experience of the Holy Spirit was? Mary.
Probably over 20 years ago, I was going through a very serious personal crisis, and nothing seemed to be working for me, and I came to St. James one Sunday morning, and I literally threw myself onto my knees into one of the pews, and in that moment, something passed through me. And going forward, things were different, and it was, in that moment, a life-changing moment for me. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit that's all I can think that's what it was, because it's been different ever since.
Okay. Many of you raised your hands about an experience of the Holy Spirit. So for those of you, I won't ask Betsy and Mary to speak to that, but for those of you others who've had that experience, how did you know it was the Holy Spirit and not something else? What made you think, this is the Holy Spirit, not this is my wishful thinking, this is my imagination, this is whatever. Alexandra.
There's a serene quality to that presence. I mean, I think of Holy Spirit as the advocate that's mentioned mm-hmm. in John's Gospel.
Sure.
So I think of the Holy Spirit dwelling within me and those providing insight and all of that, many examples. But there's a serene quality to the Holy Spirit's presence, which I feel that is more God's will versus maybe what I'm thinking, maybe my attitude, maybe my intentions, or whatever else is going on, that there's a split.
Mm-hmm.
There's this presence that is serene and true and right.
Okay.
That's how I describe it.
Anyone else? Sarah?
My experience was completely different. I was on the trip to the Holy Land, not the most recent one, but this one today, 20-plus years ago. And I've gone back, the group was waiting for me, but I've gone back to the edicule where the tomb is in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre because I wanted to see it. And there was a whole group of people there around the world pushing and shoving to get in. And it was so urgent, and it was electric, and it was imperative. And it put me right in the mind of the Gospels, people literally taking houses apart to get people in to see Jesus. Sure. And in complete contrast to serenity, it was just a riot. But it was a riot not because, it wasn't tourism, I don't want to go and snap a picture. But mm-hmm. I want to be close to the holy, and it was motivating and moving, but in a very urgent, electrifying, and stirring way that I've never experienced before. Since I'm not saying it could only happen in a place like that, mm-hmm. it's the only place I've ever experienced right. it like that, and it was literally putting people in motion.
So serenity, urgency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Wendy, did you want to say something, and then I'll.
I've had a lot of history of feeling removed from Christ, mm-hmm. not feeling that people ask me, you have a personal relationship with Jesus? No, not really. But one or two experiences that I've had that I really thought were the Holy Spirit when I had a large aha moment, didn't matter where, a couple of places seemed really incongruous to me that I had that moment there, but they led me closer to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So those moments that just occur that actually move you unexpectedly. In John's Gospel, Jesus says to his disciples quite near the end of his earthly ministry, near the end of his life, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Part of the way in which we're meant to test the spirits, part of the way we're meant to think, is this actually the Holy Spirit or something else, is it consonant with what we know about Jesus, is it consonant with what we know about God the Father? And so part of how you know that is that kind of a test. The other thing is always to be wary of, our own wishful thinking. So part of what I've heard in all these stories is this kind of moment of surprise. This was not, I am looking for this thing. It's that, and in fact, Betsy, you may have been looking for this thing, and the labyrinth wasn't doing it for you, but that experience of going there set that off so that the Holy Spirit had you angry enough and open enough to actually receive the Holy Spirit. So it's also not about, I really want this, and then God came through. Nice when that happens, but not always the Holy Spirit by any means. What are some of the, can you think just quickly, because we don't have much time, of some occasions in the Bible when there are very clear references to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's activity, Old Testament or New?
Pentecost.
Absolutely. And what happens at Pentecost?
The Holy Spirit descends like tongues of flame, but it's shared. This is what that experience was like in Jerusalem. It wasn't just me. It was all of us.
Right.
Well, that's what I was going to say. is the Holy Spirit coming an individual thing or a group thing? Or is it both?
In my experience, right. It was a group thing, but it can't be individual.
Right. Okay. We'll get to that in a minute because that's the right question. Other times in the Bible. Elijah. Speak about Elijah.
Elijah is running for his life, and he goes to the mountain, and he's listening for God, and there's a thunder, and God's not in the thunder, and there's fire, and God's not in the fire, and there's a wind, and then there's a still small voice, and that's right. What the Spirit is.
Yeah, Elijah goes to all the places in the Old Testament where there have routinely, much as it's routine, have been theophanies where God has appeared, on the mountaintop in these fires and these dramatic acts. And none of that is what happens for Elijah. What happens is it comes to him in a still small voice and sends him on his way with a little bit of energy and a little bit of annoyance on God's part. You know what? You think you're the only one? Get going. There's more to do. Yep.
Tower of Babel.
Why the Tower of Babel? Well, the Tower of Babel is actually what Pentecost undoes. The Tower of Babel is, in fact, people relying on their own gifts and their own power to actually build a tower that will go all the way up to heaven. And God says, that's not happening, given the fall, and disperses them with all these different languages. So Pentecost is always the undoing of the Tower of Babel. Let me just cite a couple of things. Of course, we get the Holy Spirit in the second verse of the Bible. The Spirit is brooding or sweeping, depending on the translation, over the formless void at the beginning of creation. The Spirit is right there at the beginning. We find out about Jesus at the beginning of creation in John's prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made without the Word. But we actually get the Spirit right at the very beginning. We also get the Spirit at Jesus' baptism. What happens at Jesus' baptism? Comes down like a dove. And what happens after the Spirit comes down like a dove? It rests upon him, and there is the voice which says, well pleased, or this is my beloved with whom I am well pleased, exactly. What about the Spirit and Mary?
First, there's an angel,
absolutely, not the Spirit. It was the angel Gabriel.
The Spirit overshadows her.
Yes, the Spirit, how shall this be, Mary says. And the angel says, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you. She is to be overshadowed by the Spirit. So we have the Spirit brooding over the void at the beginning of creation. We have the Spirit brooding over Mary's womb in the creation of Jesus, who begins the new creation. The new creation. We also have Jesus in the synagogue talking about the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has told me to preach good news to the poor, the release of the captives, the binding up of the heartbroken. Now, that's actually a quote from Isaiah. So, you know, Isaiah, the prophets are always being led by the Spirit to speak what they speak. What makes that the Spirit in Jesus' story is that at the end, which creates some consternation, is today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. So he's actually saying that he is the one who will bring about the transformation that the prophets through the Spirit have always predicted.
The Spirit sends Jesus into the wilderness.
The Spirit sends Jesus into the wilderness. A preparation to make him do something that none of us would ever want to do, but that prepares him for what will come through his ministry. Then we have Pentecost, as we said, and then we have, which I think we have in today's 11:15 readings, we also have Paul talking about gifts. And what does he say about the gifts?
They're all the same Spirit.
They're a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that actually leads us to a couple of things that I think are really important when you think about the Spirit and understanding it. Pentecost certainly shows us, and actually that amazing encounter that Elijah has also shows us, that the Spirit is always about creating a new human community in which the old divisions are torn down. That's what Pentecost does. It puts the human community back together after Babel. That's actually why you get the gifts of the Spirit. You get your gift, but your gift isn't for you. So you go, fabulous, I speak in tongues. How cool is that? It's so, in fact, you can use that gift for the good of the community. It's never just an individual gift. And it's meant to bring forth a universal community, which is why the Spirit brooding over Mary is important, because that's the start of the new creation there. But the other thing that I love, which is alluded to in Pentecost, but also certainly when Paul talks about the Spirit, is that there is, and I think those of you who have experienced the Spirit know this, there is a sense that when the Spirit speaks to you, it's incredibly individual. It's your aha moment. It's not going to be somebody else's. You know, it's speaking to where you are. When you receive those gifts, they are your gifts. They're not anybody else's gift. Everyone doesn't get the same gift. And, you know, given who we are, we tend to get competitive about gifts, which Paul also has to address. But the fact is, there is this sense that it is really God speaking to you. And yet, speaking to you is always in the service of a deeper and broader community. You know, no one's talking to Elijah except God through the Spirit. But Elijah's whole purpose is to, in fact, create the wider community in Israel. Mary's whole purpose is, in fact, to be the mother of God who will bring all of humanity together. Part of what's fabulous in the Pentecost story is, first of all, they think they're all drunk, you know, because what is this? How could this be happening? How can they speak in those languages? They don't know. But the reason they're speaking in languages they themselves do not know is not for them, though they're clearly having a pretty fabulous time. The reason they're doing that is so that all of these people who are standing on the outside and on the periphery can be drawn into the gospel. And I believe the end of the Pentecost story is that I think 3,000 people were baptized that day. So that was pretty effective. So. Okay, so heightened individuality. You really have a sense, as Alexandra said, of God within you, this kind of sense of peace of, okay, I can have a life and go forward. And yet that very sense allows you and invites you to connect with other people. And so it is all about us, but always about the community, and that community is one where the old divisions are meant to get torn down. And it's 11, so I need to end, but I'm just going to end with a fun question. Anyone here ever been slain in the spirit? Anyone here know what that is? Oh, such fun. I do not, by the way, speak in tongues. I have friends who do, but I do not. Yes, Arminda?
Is that when you fall out in church?
Yes, it's when you fall out in church. It's good to have someone who's got a little Pentecostal background. It's when someone, it may just be the Holy Spirit in the room. It may also be that someone lays their hands upon you and you just go out. Now, because I've been slain in the spirit, part of what is amazing about this, it bears no relationship at all to fainting. I have fainted. Fainting is horrible. It is a deeply unpleasant experience. Being slain in the spirit is like lovely. It's like, okay, I'm good. And you're just out for a while. And then you wake up and you're good. It's an amazing thing, being slain by the Spirit. And I think I mentioned that not to freak you all out, though perhaps I have. It's okay. But in fact, to say that that's also one of the marks of the Spirit consonant with God and Jesus, is always working to lead us into new and deeper life. Okay, so the Spirit, you know, the Spirit may push you as the Spirit pushed Elijah, but the Spirit is always pushing you into deeper life, into a sense of the creation that has been restored, that sense of deep peace, that God actually has this. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Have fun.
To learn more about St. James Church, visit stjames.org. That's stjames.org.